All right. Good stuff, right, everybody? All right, just checking the temperature. All right. Wonderful opportunities are presenting themselves to our church. One of those that you just heard about actually presented itself this week. I just want to highlight for you, and that is the campus-wide prayer for the students at UNC Charlotte. And let me just tell you, I just want you to have a good understanding of what that is about. Actually, it's kind of interesting because I've had this on my heart, talked to some of our leaders about a desire to perhaps be a place where the campus ministries could come together beginning of the semester and pray over the campus. And I was here this week at the church and actually was approached by a student who presented that idea that's already happening. So it was kind of cool because it was on my heart. It's already in play. And so I just said, well, if you need a venue, we'd be glad to host that. And so thought they might be doing that on campus, but in fact they've desired to come and have that event here. So it's really their event. We're just hosting it. But it gives us a good opportunity just to be a good host and to be here to serve them and their needs. And as they are praying, as she worded it to me in an email, that they're praying for students who do not yet know Jesus. And isn't that awesome? And so this is all the campus ministries coming together. So powerful event that'll happen Tuesday, September the 6th at 7:30 here at Cross Point. So if you want to help come and just serve them, you know, we don't want to get anybody's way, but we just want to help and encourage that and just support that any way that we can. So I just think that is a very cool opportunity, and I wanted to throw that out there for you guys. Also, there are students and that would like to just help you serve and pray also for your fellow students at UNC Charlotte. So good stuff. So let me just, first of all, before I even get any further into what I want to share today, let me just say welcome to those that are here this morning, but also welcome to those that are online. Come on, everybody, welcome those that are online here today with us. A new grassroots kind of thing that's kind of happening. Anybody can be a major production engineer, you know, with technology today. And so we're just so thankful for this way that we have to connect. And we're having a lot of people that are connecting outside of these walls with our services. So we want to say welcome to you. And also, having said that, feel free this morning if you want to check into Crosspoint on Facebook. And that, by doing that, you're kind of letting your friends know, hey, there's some things happening here. We'd love for you to connect in that way. Well, we're in a season right now. Kind of the end of the summer, we're beginning into a fall season, so we're in a little bit of transition. We just got through with a three-part series that I entitled Closer, where we just set apart a time where you know, you come sometimes get in that summer slump where you just need to get closer to God and just go after Him. And so we just completed that, and it's also not only a time just to get us up out of the summer slump and get us refocused on what matters, but also it's to sort of prepare ourselves for the season to come, which is the fall season. Fall season is the harvest season. And we know that there's a harvest in the natural, but we've also discovered that there is a harvest in the supernatural, okay, in the spiritual, I should say, that happens naturally. More people come to Jesus in the fall. More people are going to visit church, are going to settle down. Kids get back in school, get back from the summer vacations, and just get more just established. And so a lot of activity happens in the fall, so we want to be prepared for that. So we just came out of along with that closer series, also along with that, we did a 21-day of prayer and seeking God for 21 days. That concluded yesterday. I was here as we connected live with thousands of others around the world doing the same thing together. And I'm believing that something great is going to happen out of 21 days of prayer. I also want to encourage you, today is 22. So I say we had it didn't really conclude yesterday. It just happened to be day 21. But we just hope that it whets an appetite in you for prayer, for going after God, and really just make this a part of your lifestyle. And so along with that, I'm going to be sharing something with you at the end of the service, a little giveaway for you at the end of the service that relates to that. But I want to encourage you to continue to go after God. And I believe that nothing happens without prayer. You got to win the war in the heavenlies. You got to win the war in the supernatural before you see it really manifesting in the natural. I just think that's a truth. That may be a little bit deep for some of you, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. When we go after God, when we put Him first, it goes right along with what Jesus said when He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," and all these other things. You know, what you're going to wear, you know, what your job, all those other things, your relationships, all other matters will follow you. In other words, they'll just chase you down when you're chasing after God, right? God brings favor into our life. It gives direction and purpose for our life. And so want to encourage you with that. So as we're going in, I just want to set this up. That'll let you know a little bit about where we're going as a church this fall. We're going to be starting a new series next week. And I believe it's going to be a breath of fresh air. In fact, the title of the series is Fresh Air. And you don't want to miss this. This will be a great series to invite your friends to. It's going to be very life-giving, very practical. And I think it's just going to be very, very refreshing. That's going to be in the month of September. And then we're going into a series in October that is going to be titled You Ask For It. Now, we've done this in other fall seasons. And this series is a little different, and that is at Easter we did a survey and we asked the question, what would you like to hear about? What topics would you like to hear about? And that is very biblical, because the disciples at times would come to Jesus and they would ask Him questions. They would kind of set the topic and He would then address their questions. And so this is an opportunity to get some feedback from you as to what you'd like to hear, and we'll build a series around your questions. So we ask this at Easter because that's usually a good time to take the survey and get responses. But I must tell you, a lot of you didn't ask for a lot, okay? And so here's what I want to do. I want to kind of refresh this again. And so if you'll take your worship guide and look inside, there is a piece of paper that says, you ask for it. And I would really, really appreciate all the participation I could get with this, because we're going to take the top six answers here, or six questions, I should say, and we'll build a six-part series around this. But it's you ask for it. So if any of these areas you'd like to hear about, we just give you some ideas. I think some of you just needed some jump start. And at Easter, we didn't give you starters, okay? We just kind of gave you a blank line there to fill something in. So there's some starters. You could check one of those. But if what you would like to hear about is not on that list, I encourage you, write it in. And, you know, if you need to write as a paragraph, put an asterisk on the front, write as on the back, tell us what you really like to hear, okay? And we'll receive those a little bit later in the service from you, and that will really help you. And so I just want to encourage you, and hope we get 100% participation in that, and that will mean a lot for us. So let me just jump in as you're doing that into today's message. Now, today's message is a standalone message. So normally, if you'll come back next week, you'll see that we'll do in series, but along with that series, we will have message notes, fill in the blank message notes. And so today we don't have message notes. We do have a blank page for you there that you can take notes on in your worship guide. But today's just going to be a little bit more free-flowing, and I'm going to be able to just share some heart with you. As we go into the fall, I'm going to set some vision about where we are going. So if this is your first time, this is a great Sunday to be here, because you're going to learn today a little bit more about who we are as a church. Some of you may be familiar with this. Some of this is a little bit of a new twist onto it. We've just kind of same. We're doing the same thing. We're just kind of approaching it maybe in a little different way. And so I believe it's really going to help us today. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things. I've entitled this standalone message, Clear Vision. But I'm actually going to talk about vision as well as culture, and not necessarily in that order, okay? So let's get started. So I'm going to begin with this scripture that's found in Proverbs chapter 29 that says this, and you're probably familiar with this: where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. One translation said, where there's no revelation. And so, in other words, when we don't have revealed to us what we're doing, where we're going, what God's plan is for our life, we cast off restraint. Another translation says the people perish. Another one says that the people run wild. Okay, so we don't need any people running wild around here. We kind of all need to be on the same page, know where we're going. And I want to have a church where everybody knows what the vision is. It's so important to know what the vision is, because when you know what the plan is, you can run the play. I mean, right? When you know what that play call is, you can run it well. If you don't know what the play call is or where you're going or where the goal line is, you know, you're just meandering around in the middle of the football field, right? So we want to make it plain. In fact, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, said, speaking about the vision that he was given to this prophet, he says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So in other words, give them half a chance, write it down. Make it clear. Make the vision clear. And so that's what we want to do today. Very interesting, though, in the book, speaking of the book of Habakkuk, I'm going to kind of start out on some deep end of the pool. We're going to move our way to the shallow end of the pool where, and maybe shallow is not the right word, but we're going to put, by the end of this message, we're going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf, okay, where everybody can get to it. I think that, you know, if it's a message that's so complex that it's like over your head, you're like, well, hey, that's impressive, but I don't know what it meant and how it applies to my life. What good is it? So we want to make it where you can understand what we're trying to say and what God's word, I believe, again, as Scripture says here, make it plain. And so, but Habakkuk, let me just go a little deep here in a little theology, and you can study this on your own. You can look this up. But the book of Habakkuk is an Old Testament book. It's only three chapters long, but it sets up a pattern there that's very interesting. In the first chapter, in the first verse, it speaks about a burden. Now, you're going to see that it begins to talk about the vision, okay, that is given to Habakkuk. But there's a burden before there's a vision. And see, a lot of times people will have a vision for something, but it's their vision. It's their idea. It's their plan, but it's not necessarily God's plan. And one of the ways that we know that a God-given vision to us, a God plan for our life, let's put it that way, is that precedes that vision a burden. It's got to hit the heart. It's got to hit home, right? It's not just some idea up here in our mind, but it's something that God just plants in our heart and says, I've got a plan for your life. I've got a direction for you to go in. So it hits our heart first. So the first chapter, first verse, it speaks of the burden. And then it goes on in the chapter 2, it talks about how the Habakkuk then began to ask God some questions. He wanted some answers. So he began to seek guidance from God. There's a pattern here, okay? There was a burden, and because that burden, it caused him to call out to God. There may be some things going on in your life that presents itself as a burden. There's some troubles you may have, some difficulties you may have. And what do we do with that? We turn to God. And as we turn to God, God's going to respond. And what God responded with was this vision. But it started with a burden. And then there was a prayer in chapter 3. There's a pattern. There's a prayer. Prayed over that vision, okay? And then the next thing you see in chapter, and the next thing that happens in that chapter is there is revival, okay? In other words, God showed up. There was an answer, okay? And so I just think that's an interesting thing to know. So because we must be sure that the vision is true. We don't want just to move forward into what is a mirage. You know what a mirage is? That thing in the desert, you think it looks like an oasis, but it's not. It's a mirage in the desert, okay? It's not real. It's deception. And oftentimes the enemy would love to take us down a path where, oh, this path looked good. And you get there and go, well, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And because oftentimes we followed our own path and we've been deceived instead of God's plan for our life. And so God wants to give us a true vision. Here's another thing I notice about vision, and that is the vision is always connected to the harvest. When you look at Scripture, you see dreams, you see visions. Oftentimes it is about a field or about harvest. And that may sound a little bit interesting, harvest. What does that mean? Well, let me just break it down. It means people. God's vision for our life is always, he always connects us with people. In fact, from the very beginning, the only thing that God created that he said was not good, he said it's not good that man should be alone. He said, I'll give him a woman, okay? Man, we need women. I'm just saying, we need a woman. And so, it's because God said they got to have relationship. They need relationship. And so he connects us to one another. He connects us to people. And so in when we're talking about vision, it's always connected to people. John chapter 4, verse 35 says, Jesus said this. You've heard this saying. Don't you have a saying? It says this. It's still 4 months until harvest. And then he says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now he's talking about people. People coming to Christ. And so notice, the harvest was there, but what the what needed to be adjusted was their eyes, their sight, to be able to see, their vision, to be able to see. In other words, there are needs that are present. And this morning, I believe there's probably needs here, right? I mean, I got needs, you got needs, we all got needs, right? There's needs in the house. Well, help us, God, to be able to see those needs. Help us to be able to see. And so then there's another scripture that's given in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, that says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So now, again, the harvest is there, but the workers, there's something lacking there. So there's a need for vision. There's a need for workers. Can I tell you this? That vision is good, but vision also needs something else. And this is what I think is extremely important. And that is to understand that vision has to have culture to operate in. There is a need for the right culture. All right? Let me give you a scripture that's found in Mark chapter 4. It says this. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Now, it's important to know how seed grows. Okay? So it's one thing to have a dream, it's one thing to have a vision, but it's another thing to see that thing come to reality. How does it come to reality? How does it come forth, okay? And so he says, and it says, all by itself, the soil produces grain. Now notice the word soil, it's extremely important. The soil all by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. That's very interesting because there's nothing wrong with the seed, okay? And Jesus gives a parable in another place where he talks about seed, and he's talking about the Word of God, that it can find different ground when it's sown. He talked about stony ground, remember? Thorny places. He talked about the heat of the day coming and burning up the soil. But that seed that finds good soil, it takes root and it grows and it produces life. And so understand this. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with God's word, but the soil is what is going to make the difference. Now replace the word soil with the word culture. The culture makes the difference. All right, let's take the word culture and replace the word that with the word environment, okay? The environment. That's extremely important. In fact, when God created the earth, he created a place where man and woman could thrive first. Once he had a right environment, then he put them in that environment where they could live and thrive, right? God does the same thing in the spiritual. And can I tell you that our church has an environment? Your workplace has an environment. Your home has an environment. Your school has an environment, has a culture. The question is, what kind of culture is it? And is it a culture that is healthy that will bring forth life? Because here's the truth. You can be doing all the wrong things in a right culture and something can come forth out of it. But you could be doing all the right things in a bad culture and nothing's going to grow. You with me? How does that apply to me? Listen, it's very important you're in the right culture. You're in the right environment where things can grow. You've heard all your life probably about people that couldn't reach their full potential because of the environment they were raised in or the environment they lived in, right? You could be in a workplace environment where you have no opportunity for growth because of that culture, of that environment. Well, folks, so we need to make sure we're in a culture that will grow something. And I just got to apply this to our church this morning, and that is that we need a culture where things are healthy, where things will grow. And I've just got some good, I just want to encourage you that we have, I've been pastoring this church a long time, and I'm honest with you, this is probably, right now, our church has probably got the healthiest culture in the history of this church right now. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. Anybody happy about that? I mean, come on. And that's nothing that we've done. It's all about what God has done. But yet he's done that through us by us having a unity. God can't do anything where there's disunity. And where we're all on the same page, understanding what the vision is, understanding what the game plan is, and we're all in. I thought about titling this message, All In. I love that the basketball team that had the phrase, All In. We need to be all in, and we're all in, and we got the workers in the harvest field, and we're doing what God's called us to do. We understand the vision. We understand the play, and we're all in. I'm going to tell you, and we have a life-giving culture. God can do some amazing things. And so let me just speak very quickly. I'm going to spend a lot of time on this, but let me kind of run through some things about our culture as a church that we believe is important, okay? And so there were some studies done worldwide of churches of all denominations, of all different cultures, and they were trying to understand what made the church culture healthy, what made these growing churches. And by the way, I just want to clarify right here. If you're new here today, I don't want you to misunderstand. This is not just about an institution being healthy and a church building group or whatever being healthy. Understand, when we say church, we're talking about people, okay? I'm talking about you and me, okay? The body of Christ when we're talking about a church being healthy, right? And then there's local bodies. We're one of those local bodies of the body of Christ that group together, right? But we're part of a bigger church, right? Big C church, right? But this study was done of these churches all around of what made them healthy, what made them great. And they identified there was 8 essential qualities that each one of them possessed, all of them, no matter what the culture was. Well, we actually can reduce that down to 7 essentials because a couple of those can be consolidated. And I just want to run through these very quickly with you. First of all, you could write these down if you like. Number one, and that is that they were passionately in love with Jesus. Passionately in love with Jesus. Growing churches have passion. So we need to have passion for Jesus, right? Not just, this is not about form and religion. It's about relationship. And when you're in love, there's passion. I mean, when you're in love, really in love, there's passion that comes along with that. So we need to be a passionate church that's so in love with Jesus, we're not waiting till Sunday to eat. We're eating all week long because we love Jesus. You know, you hear somebody say, well, I'm not getting fed. Well, take a spoon and go, fork and eat. Because sometimes we starve ourselves all week long. We come to church famishing going, give me something, I'm going to try to be nice. We're not going to talk about being spoon-fed or anything, but I'm just saying, feed yourself. So really, we want a culture that develops self-feeders, right? Start every day with prayer. Start with word. Start with worship every day. If you only got 15 minutes, come on. We said this the other week, and go back and listen if you missed some of these in this last series. They're online. They're archived. You can listen to them. There's notes here you can download. But we talked about these three things that we need to do, and that's the word, right? That's worship. That's the word and prayer, right? Spend 5 minutes doing all those things, and you'll have a great time with the Lord. But go passionately after him every day. And so we're passionate about winning people to Jesus. So we're going to celebrate changed lives around. We're going to be passionate about what God's called us to do, which is reach the harvest, reach people, meet them at their point of their needs. Number two, ministry centered around people's gifts. We are a culture that is a gift-based church, gift-based. So that means we don't even use the term volunteer around here. Because volunteer means we're trying to get you to do something you really don't like to do, but we need you to do it. So that's a need-based church. We're not a need-based church. We're a gift-based church. And we want to help you discover what God has gifted you to do and let you do that. I'll talk about this in just a moment, more about this. We have something called the Dream Team, where we want to help you discover what God you have always dreamt of doing, and you say, oh my goodness, I get to do that? See, God's got a specific design on your life. We want to help you discover what that gift is, what God's called you to do, what your passions are, what you love to do, and let you do that. So therefore, when you come to church and you're involved, it's not I got to do this, it's I get to do this. It's a game changer, right? So we want to be that kind of culture that is gift-based, and we're equipping people. Number three, an empowering environment. Empowering. So we encourage free market thinking around here. In fact, we have something called free market small groups that's going to be launching next week. Encourage you to get in that. You can just look around for what group you can connect with and be a part of that. And so in this an atmosphere of encouragement. I'll say more about that in a moment. Number four, functioning structures. This is what we've already said, but we want to have clear vision and clear values, systems that deliver the vision. So what we do around here all has a purpose. Number five, we want to have fun. Yes, have fun. Put a big star by that one. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Not I was sad or I was mad. And so we believe, I went up to somebody this morning. I said, I'm doing a countenance check. It was one of our leaders. I said, are you smiling? Come on. I said, we should be having fun in church because Jesus was enjoyable and he was full of laughter. And so we want to create an atmosphere focusing on that. And then also, number six, love people. Love people. And so it's all about people. God loves people. It's all about people. Being an environment where it's high touch, you know. I mean, it's not where standoff. We go through the routine and we leave and we don't know anybody. No, we want to build an environment where we're loving people and in a relationship with one another. Number seven is a relentless pursuit to reach others. A relentless pursuit. This church, our main focus is not about those that are here, but about those that have yet to hear, okay? All right? So we're keeping the lost the main focus, and so we must emphasize this so importantly, and that is that we're more concerned with reaching people than keeping people, right? Because once you're over the line of faith, there's others that yet have crossed that line, and we're about reaching them. So our church should look like Jesus. And so let's even narrow this down just a little bit more from those seven to these. And I'll just run through these. And I've spent more time on this than other messages, so I won't spend much time here. But adjectives to describe Jesus are this. He's authentic. He's relevant. He's enjoyable. He's accepting. And this also we know, he's powerful. And so we believe we should have a church that looks like Jesus, that is authentic, that's relevant. Come on, how can I use this on Monday morning? That's enjoyable because Jesus was, I mean, the kids ran to him, okay? He was a kid magnet, all right? He wasn't some guy that stiff-armed kids. He was enjoyable. Kids even recognize that. He was accepting. We want to be accepting of people, right? So we do not compromise God's word and God's standard of truth, but I believe that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. It's not me sticking a finger in your face and telling you what the list is. You've got the Holy Spirit in the Bible. You don't need me. But my job is to help take you on a journey where you can discover who he really is and enter into a relationship with him. And when you fall in love with Jesus, guess what? The list will take care of itself. Is that good? All right. So we want to be accepting. And then finally, we want to be powerful. Jesus was powerful. So our hope this morning is in this service that you'll not just experience a bunch of people in a new place, but you'll actually experience the power of God. You'll encounter him in such a way that at some moment in this service, you'll have this revelation that, oh my goodness, he is real and he does love me and he's speaking to me right now and he cares about me and he wants the best for me. So we want a church service and a church that is very powerful. And so when we look at this culture, this is so important because listen to this, culture trumps vision every time. You can have a vision, but if you don't have the right culture, it's not going to happen, right? You can have the right word, but if you don't have the right soil, it's not going to happen. And let me give you another word for soil, and that's your heart, okay? Not just environment, but your heart. Is my heart prepared? Is my heart in the right place? And when our heart's in the right place, then God can begin to then speak from the inside out and give us vision about where to go and what to do. And so the vision is really talking about the heart of God, what God sees and what God wants to do in our life. He sees people. His heartbeat is always people. And therefore, when our heart is right with him, then our heart gets close to God and our heart becomes people as well. And it translates into the vision. Now, we've given some different scriptures about, and let me just talk, move right quickly into vision. And we have actually given some scriptures in the past and formatted this thing of how our vision is based on. We're going to simplify that, and I'm not going to go too much into what we've done but in the past, but we used a scripture from Exodus chapter 6 where God was speaking to Israel, and he mentions four things. There's four I wills in here where he says to Moses to tell Israel, and he's bringing them out of bondage, He says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Now, in that verse, there's four I wills that actually Jewish culture and their Jewish Passover, and that's what that time they remember where God brought them out from the bondage, that they observe, that's based on these four I wills in this scripture. And they're called four cups, the four cups of Passover. And the first is the cup of salvation, where God says, I just got to get you out of there. And the second is the cup of deliverance. Now that I got you out of there, I need to deliver you. Why do I need deliverance? You just got me out of there. But oftentimes we get out of Egypt, but we need Egypt out of us. Does that make sense? And so there's the cup of salvation, but then there's the cup of deliverance because I got issues. And that's a process. The first is a standalone. He does all by himself through Jesus Christ. Nothing we can add to that. Nothing we did. He just said, I'm getting you out of there. I don't want to get you in church. I don't want to try to clean. I just got to get you out of there. Now let's move you to the cup of deliverance, because I'm going to set you free. You're going to experience freedom. I'm going to free you from being slaves, because you thought you were a slave, but you're not a slave, and I'm going to work you through that. And then he brings us to the cup of redemption, where it's an outstretched arm. He takes us. He says he redeems us. So he brings us back from what we thought we were, and brings us back to the original value of who we really are in him. Because the world has told you you're one thing, and your society and your environment and your culture has told you one thing of who you are, and God said, no, that's not who you are. I got to get you out of that place and help you discover some freedom in me, and let me reveal to you who you really are in me. And that's the cup of redemption. And then the fourth cup is the cup of fulfillment. He says, now that you're out, you're free, you know who you are, now let's let you do what you've always been designed to do. And that's the greatest place of fulfillment, when you're serving with other people, doing something that makes a difference for an eternal cause. Now that's kind of the way we've packaged that before in the four cups. But I just want to set this up for you guys, and that is that as of this fall, as of next Sunday, we're going to be presenting everything in a new way that's just kind of a little bit more street language friendly, okay? Because you know that four cup things can get you kind of deep. I don't know about all that stuff. So we're going to break it down and make it real plain for you, because actually these four things that I just mentioned are all through Scripture. From Old Testament to New Testament, even in the Great Commission, these four things exist. And so everything we do around here are these four things, because we believe that God's will is that he wants to get people out, right? He wants to set them free. He wants them to understand who they are. And he wants to get them on the path of purpose for him. And so I want you to give you another scripture and write this down. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. And he says this, I keep on asking. This is Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, his prayer for them. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And then he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory, glorious inheritance in his holy people. You're going to see that these four things are actually in here as well. And so look at the scripture. He says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So he wants us to see something here. He wants to give us clarity to see this, to understand this. He says, so that you may know him better. So everything starts here by knowing him. That's where God is getting you out of Egypt, okay? Know who he is. And then I pray that the eyes of your heart, and our heart is the filter of how we see things, right? That's where we get hurt. That's where issues are. That's where it gets polluted and cloudy. But he says, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order, there's a connection here, you may know the hope to which he has called you. I can't see tomorrow because I'm blinded by yesterday, but God set me free so that I can understand what your purpose for my life is, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, so that we may live our lives in the fullness that God has for us. Let me give it to you a little bit clearer. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1 again in the Message. I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the glory of God, these four things, to make you intelligent and discerning, to know him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do, grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for you. And so I want to break these four things down that are found here. First of all, he says that you may know him personally. So write this down. This is really the four cups. It's just reworded, all right? Write this down. Know God. Know God. Number one, Our hope for you is that you'll know God. In fact, that's the primary purpose of Sunday morning, is that people will come to know God. That's what this is all about. Now, today's vision, and speaking a little more to the church today, you know, but I'm telling you, all of what we do, no matter what the topic, no matter what the message, is all about presenting Jesus Christ that you may come to know him, all right? So we want people to know God. And that word know there is the word gnosko, which means intimate. It's not just knowing about him, but it's really knowing him. And so, listen, that I got to stop right here. That is so important, because Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 said this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's not enough just to go to church, pay your tithes, serve on a team, do all these things. There will be those that did that, because it goes on. It says that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drove out demons and performed many miracles? That's church folks, guys. And then he says, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. We never got close. You knew about me, but you didn't know me. We weren't intimate. We didn't have relationship. So most importantly, we want people to know God. And so our hope this morning is that you come to know who he is. And there's nothing for you to do except accept him. Receive him by faith. Acknowledge your need of him. And by faith, receive him and accept him as the Lord of your life. And that's personal. That's private. And that's between you and him, really. That's intimacy, where you have this connection with God and you say, I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. That's private. Now, there's an action step that follows that, that's separate from salvation, but it's just an act of obedience as we begin to follow Christ, and it's called water baptism. And that's public. That's where we acknowledge him publicly, right? So there's a place for public acknowledgement. In fact, Jesus emphasized this, that if we're ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of us before the Father. And that's an opportunity to have that publicly declared. It's like the wedding band of Christianity, right? We're going to put that on. We're going to say, I'm his, right? So let me move to the next one. And that is find freedom. Scripture there says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So we want people to know God, and then we want people to find freedom. Find freedom. Now that's that cup of deliverance. People are afraid of the cup of deliverance. Sounds like some demonic thing. Got to get delivered, you know. It simply means that we have issues and we need to be freed from them. And that's a process, okay? Knowing God happens in a moment, right? God does it in a millisecond. He forgives us. We're his. But this finding freedom is a process that he takes us through. And so the heart, it says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The heart is a filter that needs to be cleared of all of our issues. You cannot have a tomorrow until you settle yesterday. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. But here's how he does it. James 5:6 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So listen, we go to God for forgiveness, but we go to people for healing. Now, don't get me wrong, it's God that heals. And by the way, time never does heal. Sometimes it even makes it worse, okay? But God forgives us, but he does heal us, but he uses people through relationship to get close to somebody. And so the action step for this would be small groups. And that's the way we serve this part of this, okay? Knowing God is what Sunday morning is about. Finding freedom is we use small groups to help people find freedom. And guess what? Next week is our showcase. So after church next week, we're going to have tables set out here. It's going to be like a fair. People are going to be giving away brownies and candy and $100 bills. I say that every time, and nobody's giving them out yet. But anyhow, and they're going to try to get you in their group, and they're going to, and you get to shop at Free Market. We do that for 13 weeks this fall. We encourage you. We've got all kind of groups that are going to happen, and you can learn about that. Next week, we'll have it all online as well that you can check that out. And also, let me just say this. If you're interested in leading a group, we're going to have a leadership training that happens. You heard about it right after service today. We're going to feed you. If you want to lead a small group, Pastor Steve, our small groups pastor, will take you through a training and help you discover how you can be a part of a group. And here's the thing. The groups are not just so you can get information, okay? Even today's not just so you can get information. It's so that you can get in relationship. And our hope is, again, curriculum is just an excuse. The real goal of small groups is that you get into a relationship with somebody, not getting in the middle of a circle telling all your business. I don't ever like that. But where you get close enough to somebody where you can say, can I tell you something that I have never told anyone else? And you get real. And the mask comes down. And I want to tell you, that's where growth starts to happen. We believe that real life change happens in the context of authentic, real relationships. Okay? And so we encourage you in that. So this is our vision, I'm telling you. This is our vision. Our vision is that we want people to know God, and we want people to find freedom. We want people to know God, experience Him, have an intimate relationship with Him, make a commitment, be water baptized, right? And then find freedom, get in a small group, right, where you can live this thing out and someone can help you with your issues and begin to grow and move past yesterday so that you can have a tomorrow. Number three, and that is, discover purpose. Now, that's that cup we used to call the cup of redemption, right? There was a cup of salvation, the cup of deliverance, the cup of redemption. Well, this, we're just saying, know God, find freedom. Doesn't that sound, can you understand a little bit better? And discover purpose. And the scripture there from this Ephesians says that you may know the hope to which He has called you. So Romans 12, 6 says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. That word grace is the word charis, and it means grace gift. It means that you're made for this. It's what God has called you to, and you're made for this. And so it's where you can discover your purpose, discover your purpose. 1 Peter says this, God has given gifts to each of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. And so we want to help you discover, okay, you know God. You're finding freedom. Now, what's your purpose? Why are you here? It is said that 85% of Christians do not know why they're here. That's a tragedy. I'm a Christian, kind of filling space and time, but I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing. We want to help you with that. And so we've designed something called the Growth Track. That's what you heard about. And that's our way that we take care of this one here. And that is that you come to this place of discovering purpose. And so we take you through a four-week process. It's so easy, guys. It's so easy. We make it as easy as possible and convenient for you. It happens right after service. It's for 1 hour. We're going to feed you, right? You got to eat somewhere anyway. And we'll take you through these just 4 weeks. All right, so 4 weeks. That's four Sundays, okay? On the first Sunday, we have one on the second Sunday, on the third Sunday, on the fourth Sunday. And through that, you'll discover really what God has called you to do. It's fun. I won't go all into that. But get on the growth track. So the way you discover purpose, the action step there is attend the growth track. And today is 401, and Discovery 401, and we're going to help you discover what God's called you to do, and it's going to be awesome, all right? So number four is this. We want you to make a difference. So we want you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and now that you've discovered what you're supposed to be doing, then let's get on a team, and let's make a difference. And that scripture there breaks this out, that you may experience the riches of His glorious inheritance that He has for you in the saints. So we do that with other people. And this is the greatest level of fulfillment, is when we are making a difference in the lives of someone else. John 15 says this, "This is to My Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. I have told you this so that My joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." So the action step to this one of making a difference is join the dream team. You do that by going through the growth track. We help you discover all this and get you on a team and get you making a difference in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27 says this, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." And so we're all in this together. John Maxwell has said before, it's teamwork that makes the dream work. And so here's the thing. There's a lot of opportunities here at Crosspoint. And Crosspoint would be better if you help us, okay? and fulfilling the vision God has called us to. But really, I share that with you not because we've got a need. Again, we're gift-based. Because what we're presenting is not what we want for us. It's really what we want for you. Because when you begin to live out the purpose God has put you on this planet for, two great times in your life, when you were born, and then the second is when you figure out why you were born. And we take you through this process on this journey. I'm going to tell you, it's going to make a difference in your life as well. Not just in the lives of others, it'll make a difference in your life. And so I just want to take this Sunday. I know this was kind of a lot to lay out here, okay? We kind of gave you A to Z today. Usually I do culture, and then I do another one for vision. Today I did culture and vision all in one, all right? Because really the two go hand in hand. As a pastor, my job is to take you on a journey of discovery, knowing Him, finding freedom, right? Discovering purpose, and then come on together. Let's go make a difference. Let's go make a difference. But again, the difference is going to be in your life, your life, your life. When you begin to discover who you are, who He is, who you are, what you've been called to do, finding that freedom, and going out and making a difference. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I just wanted to pray. Father, I thank you for the healthy culture of this church. But I thank you also for the vision that you've given us to do what you've called us to do. Not just call us, not just for what you've called us to do, but God, for who you've called us to be. Help us to know you. Help us to know you and begin to change us from the inside out. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to reiterate one truth I share with you, and that is your heart, our hearts, that's the culture. That's the soil. And I don't know what the condition of your heart is. I don't know where you are and what issues you're dealing with. And you know, maybe you've went through some stuff where it's hardened your heart. Maybe there's been some disappointments in others, maybe even in yourself. Maybe there's some wounds that's not even your fault, but life just has just happened to you, and it's tough. Perhaps you're in a confusing place where the weeds of this world are just kind of wrapping around your mind and you don't really know and you're kind of disoriented. I believe God's brought you to this place for a purpose. I believe God wants to reveal Himself to you. But I would ask you today, give God another chance. Allow Him to come in your heart, to begin to heal your heart, begin to restore your heart. Allow Him to come in and bring you out of that place to a new place. Allow Him to come in your life and begin to work some issues and take you on this journey of growth and discovering who He is. Allow Him to come in your life and begin to give you purpose and direction. Set your feet on the right path, path of peace. Allow Him to come in your life and begin to fulfill you as a person where you're actually, your life matters. It means something because you're doing something that makes an eternal difference. But all that begins by inviting Him to come in and saying, God, I just want to know you. I just want to know you. I want to know you. I want you to come in and heal my heart. Come in and make sense of it all again. Put order in my life. So that's you here today. I'd like to, our heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I'd like to simply lead you in a prayer. If that's where you are, where you're saying, God, come in. I want to know you. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come to the front. This is between you and God, okay? But I would like to know who I'm agreeing with. And so what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to be bold. And I believe you just need to do this as just an action to say, God, it's me. It's me. I need you. So my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to pray with prayer with you. But before I do, I want you to slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you include me? Would you count me in? That's me. Yes. I'm proud of you. Good job. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Just say yes. Yeah. You're saying yes, Lord, today. Today. Today I'm going all in. Today I'm going to run the play that you have for my life today. Anyone else? Just slip up a hand, put it right back down. out. Look, this is not a magic prayer of a repeat after me and it's my words. I'm helping you with the words, but this has got to be your prayer. So all I'm saying is if you'll just mean it, just mean it. Let me lead you and just mean it from your heart to the Lord. And God's going to change your life. Today is going to be a new day. Come on, everybody. Here's what I'd like us to do. For support, I'd like everybody to pray this prayer out loud. For those that need to pray it, just to give them privacy, okay? So together, can we just pray this? Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I thank you for life. You've come to give me life. You've come to give me new life. Today, I accept you, and I invite you into my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross, for forgiving me of my sins, for paying my sin debt so I wouldn't have to. Thank you for freedom that's found in you today. Come inside. Make me brand new. I surrender my life. Come on, put it this way. Just say these words. Say, Lord, I give you my life. And I receive you by faith. Help me to follow you. Father, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and accepted Jesus into their life. And I pray you just fill them with your spirit, that you would give them the power to follow you one step at a time. God, this vision that I've shared this morning is designed in such a way that we just help people take the next step. I thank you for these that have come today in this place. And they've made this major step, the best choice of their life. Now, I pray that you would help them now, one step at a time, to follow you. I pray for this church that we would orient ourselves in such a way that we would help people discover what their next step is and be there just to help them take their next step. Together, Lord, cause us to be a passionate church for souls. Cause us to be a passionate church in love with you and also caring about people and making an eternal difference on this planet. God, we give you all the credit, all the glory, and all the praise for all accomplished. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God praise this morning for changed lives.